is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host with Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, our colleague and co-host, to report on the Middle East. We begin with headlines that are alarming about Hamas. Thaddeus?
It's Malcolm. Hamas recently has made news because the Home Secretary of Britain has designated them a terrorist organization. Recent events prove the rectitude of that decision, doesn't it?
100%. And this is especially important because the EU and the United States have long recognized Hamas as an entity, as a terrorist, with a terrorist designation. Many other countries tried to create this fiction of a bifurcation between a political and military wing. In a terrible attack yesterday that took the life of a young man in Jerusalem by a senior Hamas official in Jerusalem, known for his presence every day at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and was known as an activist, also a teacher at the Islamic education at a secondary school under the supervision of the Jerusalem municipality, meaning he was paid by Israel. But he was known as an extremist mosque preacher, and he carried out the attack himself, stabbed several people, and the distinction is clearly negated by his participation. And we see now that the Great Britain finally has moved to place the whole organization under this designation, which means they can't raise funds. And they talk about the significant terrorist capability and access to extensive and sophisticated weaponry. And until now, only the Izzaldin Qassam Brigades, which is the military arm, was designated. And we know that Israeli officials had gone to Britain to present information about activities of Hamas in Britain, which is a major source of fundraising. And that's the significance, that this cuts off a flow of funds to Hamas from Great Britain. It's already been cut off from most of the EU. The Hamas chief, by the way, was at the same time in Tehran, publicly thanking Iran for its support and its pivotal role, and designating how the money that they get from Iran is so important. The foreign minister of Iran condemned the declaration of Hamas by Britain as a terrorist organization and used very strong language, even put a notice out on Twitter. And Priti Patel, who is the UK Home Secretary, announced the move, and it evoked some reaction. But most of all, I think the reaction was very muted, especially in the Arab and Islamic countries.
The Iran deal, Malcolm, it dominates it's the backdrop of everything throughout the Middle East. It is, at this point, a mystery as to where it's going. The negotiations are said to start again as early as the 29th of November. However, to what end, Malcolm? Because there have been headlines in these last days that Rob Malley, the chief negotiator for the United States, along with the Secretary of State Antony Blinken, plan to offer a new deal or some version of the old deal. What do we know?
What we know is that seems to be the core of an exchange that has taken place between the National Security Councils of the two countries and two leaders. There were reports that Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor of the United States, told his counterpart, Eyal Lada, that the U.S. is readjusting its goals for the nuclear talks, which are scheduled, as you said, for November 29th. And it's not with the United States. It's with the P4. Plus, Russia and China are participating, and the Europeans, but not the United States. Rather than stick to the position to enter that they have to live up to their obligations, we're seeing that they're waving the white flag, in essence, and are accepting in negotiations on which all they're asking is that they freeze at their present level. Now, we know that Iran has enriched up to 60%. Way above the limits that were supposedly set for them by the agreement, not only in the level of enrichment, but in the huge quantities that they now have. So freezing at this level is not an achievement. And this is, in essence, an interim agreement as a way to stall for time, which Iran uses to just advance its program. they would perhaps agree to some sort of a perfunctory move of at the current level. But we know that they are moving material into some in Karza and some of the other facilities where they're making more and more advanced centrifuges. So they're not doing that because their intent is for peaceful purposes. And for them to get a financial bonanza by us lifting any of the sanctions or releasing any of the money would be a disaster, rather than extending the sunset clauses, which would enable them to get a bomb illegally in a few years, let alone continue to move ahead illegally as they are constantly now. So when you have enrichment of 25 kilograms of 60% uranium, and estimates are even higher, we know that the danger inherent in a kind of interim agreement, when the IA board meets in November, France said that it would still act with its partners against Iran, even, and Iran has criticized France for it, but they see the violations continue, and looks like, I'm not saying that it is yet, but the appearances are that the United States moving away from a stronger and better agreement to something that will be just a holding action.
Puzzle, Malcolm. I recall that Raisi doesn't care about the deal. I recall that the provocations throughout the area are, despite these negotiations, going forward full scale. In other words, nothing's going to change except maybe cash into the hands of Tehran. Do I recall correctly that Tehran is ready to walk away from the deal? You mentioned, for example, that they're upgrading their air defense system, almost as if they're anticipating that there's going to be a violent response to their walking away from the deal.
So you recall absolutely correctly, and it's even more complex. The thing with the air defense system, this is the Bavar 373 air defense system, which they touted as a substantial upgrade from the Russian S-300 system that they use. And the danger here is that they could deploy it, the surface-to-air missile batteries in the Persian Gulf, close to islands near the UAE, and where there have been longstanding territorial disputes, as well as getting it into Syria and nearer to the border with Israel, as well as to Hamas, to Hezbollah. And we know that they're trying to smuggle these systems into it to challenge the Israel Air Force strikes against, you know, the resupply that they've been engaged in. Moreover, you see the bragging by the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Navy chief, he bragged that they and publicly listed seven different incidents over recent years in which they humiliated the United States. And they said that each time one of their people was killed, they would carry out an attack in the name of their martyrs. And six of them were just in the last, 12 to 18 months. And they say it shows their superiority at sea. And they did this at a gathering at the building that used to be the U.S. Embassy compound in Tehran. So they have tried to thwart, and they continue to repeat this myth about how they drove Americans who seized an oil tanker, when in fact it was they who seized the oil tanker, and the whole story was a myth that they made up to try and promote their image. So there's nothing that they won't do and would stop at. We know that the only thing they understand is strength, and Israel strongly opposes a limited deal, and especially when it doesn't roll back any of the steps. But as time progresses, it's going to be harder and harder to be able to roll back anything.
Thaddeus?
Malcolm, there's a open secret now, isn't there, about the UAE and Communist China having a new port?
Yes, UAE is a great friend of the United States, but U.S. intelligence agencies learned a few months ago that China was secretly building what was suspected to be a military facility at the Khalifa port, which is about 50 miles from Abu Dhabi in the UAE. And the Biden administration warned the Emiratis about it and about the military presence. And they had several meetings. And just now, the construction was halted, although it has been advanced already up to this point. And the UAE seems to have been unaware of the military nature of what they were going to do. But it shows both the Chinese ambition and aggressiveness throughout the region. The UAE never planned or had an agreement to host a Chinese military base, according to people at the embassy. And They are usually pretty straightforward. So I think that this is more an indication of the aggressiveness of China throughout the region and the way that they were able to engage in subterfuge in the UAE.
Malcolm, Al Jazeera. I visited their headquarters in my one visit to Doha, Qatar. It's a very large, sophisticated media representation, television, radio, print around the world. You have indicated to me that there is talk in Washington that Al Jazeera acts more than a neutral business of journalism, that it advocates, that it promotes, that it propagandizes. The most recent incident is promoting violence in Gaza to children. What can be done by the U.S. government, by the Congress, to in some way either identify Al Jazeera as a propaganda threat or to limit its reach?
So it's very critical because Al Jazeera's influence, and we know that it's essentially a state-owned operation of Qatar, and it's very widely watched in throughout the world and in the Middle East as well. But it promoted an exhibition that was held in Gaza by Hamas that shows young people in using various terrorist weapons as well as simulators that allow them to practice killing Israelis and liberating the Al-Aqsa mosques. This was broadcast and it was on YouTube and other media as a result, what they call the Generation of Jerusalem exhibition. And Al Jazeera is promoting this horrific exhibition that is open for 10 days for high school students, elementary school students, and university students, but teaches them how to use electronic shooting simulators so that they can shoot in that room and experience what it's like to engage in the terrorist activities. And this is very disturbing, and there is something that can be done. And I met with several senators and congresspeople recently in Israel about putting it on the FARA list. It's time that it be designated for what it is and that it be subjected to the restrictions like RT recently was as a mouthpiece for Russia. And this is they showed off the weapons and grenades, sniper rifles, all sorts of activities to stimulate these young people to become terrorists.
Yeah, the Foreign Agents Registration Act that dates from the New Deal imposes disclosures, requirements, and other legal obligations on an individual or entity that becomes, quote, an agent of a foreign... Now, Malcolm, that would be a blow to Al Jazeera, correct? I mean, that would
absolutely
not be, that would be a piece of leverage because they'd lose a lot of access.
And they have to register, and it limits their ability, absolutely, 100%.
All right, we need good news, Malcolm. Have you got something good news? There's a new ambassador, something positive, Malcolm.
Yes, well, I think recognition of these problems is something positive, and Fitch rated Israel A+ again, which was very positive. And now its new representative here, Mike Herzog, a really wonderful, charming guy who was a brigadier general. He a scholar, researcher. He's held many positions. His father was a president of Israel. His brother is the current president of Israel. He knows the people in the administration, Blinken and even President Biden. And he's been part of the Israel-Palestinian peace talks, including during the Obama administration. So this is I think it'll be a great addition, a great representative of Israel in the tradition of many outstanding ambassadors. And his both his personality, his wisdom, and knowledge will be proved to be very important.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents. I look forward to conversations with the new ambassador, Malcolm. And Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness. We're going to turn to the Dusty One soon enough. He'll be here with his chapeau, his bullwhip, and his bag of tricks. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.